But if I, by the finger of God, cast out devils, doubtless the kingdom of God has come upon you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Dear faithful, in the Gospel of this third Sunday of Lent, our Savior casts out the devil from a possessed man. Holy Church chose this particular passage for this Mass, for our forefathers in the faith, in the early Church of Rome, today was the first of the scrutinies. Were the catechumens preparing to be baptized, at the great vigil of Easter, were examined as to their morals, and solemn rites of exorcism were said over them in order to prepare their hearts and souls for the reception of the sacraments at Easter. The divine liberator, having driven out the demon from the possessed man, places him and us all on guard. For we too have become the prey to the devil by our many relapses into sin. Our Savior warns us of the danger. The devils will return to attack. They will endeavor to force their entrance into our souls after it has been sanctified by the Paschal Lamb. If we be watchful and faithful, they will be confounded and leave us. But if we be tepid and careless, if we lose our appreciation for the graces we have received and forget our obligations to Him who has saved us, our defeat will be inevitable. And as our Lord says, our last state shall be worse than the first. In these difficult and trying days, it is evident that the devil and his cohorts are hard at work. The new Tower of Babel, which man has built for himself, is crumbling around him. We witness the individualism, materialism, and consumerism of man made apparent in his hoarding and disregard for others. In a moment when God Almighty permits us, his creatures, to suffer a great trial, certainly as a chastisement for the countless sins that cry to heaven for vengeance, yet to which most turn a blind eye or even attempt to exalt and regularize, those who ought to come to our aid by offering us all of the armor we need to engage in the spiritual battle that lies ahead of us, to remind us of our mortality and the grave obligations which that incurs, seemingly shut off access to the streams of saving grace which flow from the pierced heart of our Redeemer. We see the spiritual blindness of men who seek and exalt purely human and temporal solutions to the difficulties which assail us. The prophet Jeremiah, in the lesson read at last Thursday's Mass, makes clear the foolishness of those who, forgetting the supernatural, rely solely on the temporal. Thus says the Lord God, "Cursed the man who trusts in man, who seeks his strength in flesh, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a barren bush in the desert that enjoys no change of season, but stands in a lava waste, a salt and empty earth. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is the Lord. He is like a tree planted beside the waters that stretches out its roots to the stream. It fears not the heat when it comes. Its leaves stay green. In the year of drought, it shows no distress, but still bears fruit." Don't get me wrong. We ought not neglect the prudent and concrete steps we can take to reduce the possibility of spreading the contagion we may have to face. Grace does not destroy nature, but builds upon it. While using the common sense that God has given us and taking the necessary means to protect ourselves and our families from illness, we should look also to that one thing necessary, our eternal salvation. Holy Church puts at our disposal the treasury of divine grace, dispensed to us through the hands of her priests, the sacraments and the sacramentals. Cherish them and make good use of them. Surely the devil is at work, for in many places the holy water fonts and reservoirs are now dry. The church bells consecrated to put the devil to flight are now silent. In many places, the faithful are bidden to assist at the sacred mysteries. The church doors are closed, and in some extreme cases, the priests are no longer permitted to carry the last rites to those in their final agony. But let us not lose hope, nor let our zeal be stirred up into anger. Let these sad circumstances remind us of the value of the Mass, even if we are legitimately unable to attend. Hidden from the eyes of many, each and every day, God's ministers ascend the steps of the altar. In the silence of their churches and chapels, abandoned by most everyone else, they offer up the sacrifice of salvation and the silence of the sacred canon. God descends into their hands for your sakes. And though they are but mortals and sinners, yet they, each day, have the closest contact and communication with the divinity, offering up that divine victim to the eternal Father, the victim whose blood is the ransom for all of our sins. As St. John Vianney taught his faithful at Ars, all good works together cannot equal the value of the sacrifice of the Mass, because they are the works of men, and the Holy Mass is the work of God. Martyrdom is nothing in comparison. That is the sacrifice that man makes of himself to God. But the Mass is the sacrifice that God makes to man of his very own body and blood. Give thanks to the Almighty that he has blessed you with good priests, and that we are privileged to still assist at these sacred mysteries. Beseech his Holy Mother that she might touch the hearts of all priests and prelates, that they might have an ever more supernatural vision of reality, that their tongues may be loosed to preach the truth, that they might have the strength to lay down their lives for the flock. Let us also invoke Saint Joseph, terror of demons and protector of Holy Church, frequently in these days leading up to his feast on Thursday, that by his powerful intercession, the demon and his legions may be brought to naught. And pray most especially for those who are affected by this epidemic and who are starving for the sacraments, that our God and Savior might deliver his people from the terrors of his wrath and assure them of that safety which is the gift of his divine mercy. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.